Good evening. Before we start tonight, I want to pray, and it's always good to pray before you start, isn't it? I think so. Father, we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus. Father God, we come before you as the body of Christ. Father God, individuals, but yet all part of the body of Jesus Christ. Father God, we stand in your presence as family. And we thank you, Father God, that Jesus Christ, your Son, went to the cross for each one of us. Father God, that you chose to set us apart in Christ and to give us eternal life. Thank you, Father. Now, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God, we speak peace over this place this evening. Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister the truth of this word as comfort to each one. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening, we're going to deal with, well, I entitled it Wisdom in the Word. So the majority of this deals with wisdom. But actually, I guess it deals more specifically with the Word. And how the Word affects us. The role of the Word in our lives. If I'd had, you know, a big long place to put a title, I might have put that all in there. But I thought, well, wisdom in the Word would be sufficient. So anyway, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. He said, my son, do not forget my law. In other words, don't forget the word. We need to remind ourselves constantly that the law is not just a bunch of rules, but it is what God thinks. So what God thinks is for today, just like it was for Old Testament times. But yet it isn't to be used as rules, that we just follow rules, because rules you can follow just out of what you know in your head, right? And that's why the law didn't work, because it was weak in the flesh. So when he says here, my son, do not forget my law, he's saying, my son, don't forget the words. Don't forget my words. Don't forget what I have said to you. He said, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now we know that his commandments were love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Commandment of love. So he said, let your heart keep my commandments. So if your heart is keeping his commandments, you're automatically fulfilling the law. Say amen. Say thank you, Jesus. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Do you know that the word is meant to add peace to you? comfort and peace. And yet sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Say amen or say ouch. Sometimes the word, when we first hear a word from the Lord, it doesn't feel like peace. And we're going to look at that tonight. Some of what we hear from God stings. But it isn't the word that stings. Are you following what I'm talking about here? It isn't the word that stings. It's our reaction to the word. I used to find that the word, that when I would hear some things, it would really bite. Then I decided that, no, I like the chastising of the Lord. I like that because it corrects me. And all of a sudden the word quit stinging. Because the chastising of the Lord, when he said something to me, was for my benefit. And I realized that. And so I realized that was for my peace. So he said, length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, sometimes you just simply have to choose whether you're going to please God or please man. Amen? I don't know. It's just the way it is. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Most of the time, if you're pleasing God, man will come around. So, then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I have found in the past, in my own case, and I don't know about you because I can't see in your heart, only God can. I can't even see in your mind. So, but I found in the past that like he's saying, lean not on your own understanding. My understanding was different than God's understanding at times. I hope I wasn't the only one that's ever been there. Have you ever been in a situation where you found out that your understanding of something was different than God's understanding of it? Normally, when my understanding was different than God's understanding was when what he said to me had a little bit of an edge to it. Because you know what caused the edge to it? My resistance to what he said. That's what causes you the grief, is our resistance to what he's saying. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now that could be hurtful. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Then he goes on to say, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, if you ever found scripture that you could nail to the fridge, this is it. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in this room that has more than enough money or not. Come on, we can smile a little bit at that, because we know we don't have more than enough money. Okay? But nail this to the fridge. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns, this is his word, his promise. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, folks, that is prosperity. And when you wind up short, you go to God and you say, you know, as far as I know, I have honored you with my possessions. As far as I know, I have honored you with my possessions. How do you see it? And then stand there with your knees knocking, and because you think, oh, he's going to ask for more. He's going to ask for more. Am I down where the rubber meets the road here by any chance? Oh, you can tell I've been there, can't you? Amen? He said, my son, is in verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Now, if you go to God and you say, Father, as far as I know, I have honored you with all my possessions. As far as I know, I have honored you. And if he brings something to your remembrance and corrects you, don't disregard it. He is doing that so that he can get the blessing to you. You know what? He's not going to open up hell and throw you in just because you made a mistake on your possessions. Particularly if you go to him and say, Father, you know what? As far as I know, I have honored you. And if he says, well, you know what, in this area, you need to change this or you need to change that, be willing to change. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Oh my. It may hurt, but don't despise it. I told you, when I got past the chastening of the Lord hurting, is when I decided I wanted it. I decided that I wanted his correction so that my life could represent what he wanted me to be. Nor detest his correction, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Now, do you want the Lord to love you? Or do you want his love without his correction? Well, you can't get it. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Do we understand that term? If we want him to love us, then we have to be willing to take his correction. He said, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. See, we raised three boys, so I had three sons to look at and to watch them, and they weren't always sure of this love business when I was correcting them. And they weren't really sure that I was delighting in them. I think there was times when they thought I delighted more in the correction than I did in them. You know, the truth of the matter is, I could very well have gone through life without, I'd have been very happy to not have to correct them. Hello? I would have been more than happy to go through life without correcting them. But what would they have learned? Are you following that? And that is exactly the way God is with you. Whom he loves, he chastens. He corrects. Because he loves you. And because he wants you to do better. I remember once, I'm going to tell you a pastor story. Tell on the pastor again tonight. So enjoy it. I'm not going to always do this. I'm trying to get away from it. I remember once that we were at some kind of a meeting at the school. I think it was Farmers Union meeting or something, because they had that back in that day when I was growing up. It'd be a little bit before any of your time, but and so myself and some other kids were sitting in the, on the benches. These were benches without backs, just benches. We were sitting on the benches, and we were sitting in front of my mom and some other ladies. And we were doing something, and my mom told me to quit. And I don't remember exactly what I did. But that was the point when she told me that when we get home, boy, you and I are going round and round, if you know what that means. Anyway, so we straightened up. We were really nice the rest of the night. I was really nice to my mom the rest of the night. Going home, you know, I was really nice to my mom. We got home and I was being really nice to my mom. And she said, okay, get ready for bed. Got ready for bed and I thought, oh, I dodged the bullet. And then she says, now, you come here. You and I are going to have a little talk. She said, what did I tell you over at the school? I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Now, at that point, I was being really nice. Okay? I cannot even imagine that my mom enjoyed using that wooden spoon. Come on now. What do you think? She didn't do it. At that point, she didn't do it for her benefit because she wasn't angry anymore. I don't think she was even angry when she talked to me. My mom never got angry that I know of. But boy, you wanted to pay attention. Amen? So she wasn't angry with me, but why did she do it? She did it because she loved me. And she understood that if she didn't take that measure at that time, that come the next time, I would think, well, nothing's going to happen. And there would have been no correction for what I did. I hope that helps you to understand why God chastens his children. Because he loves you. Do you think that maybe he has nothing better to do than to correct us? I think he would a lot sooner like to just sit down and cuddle us and to play with us. But there are times when he says, no, if you continue doing this, it's going to spoil the rest of your life. And so you and I are going to have a talk about this, child. And you and I are going to get this straight here and now. so that there doesn't have to be a next time when you think that God was just joking about what he said. Amen? Verse 13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And that's gain understanding of that wisdom. Do you know that you can have wisdom and not understand the wisdom? So he said, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. He's talking about understanding of the wisdom that you gained. It doesn't do you any good to see the wisdom without understanding what you're seeing. So what he's saying to you, happy is the man who finds the wisdom and the man who gains the understanding of that wisdom. Whenever my mom got the wooden spoon out, I got wisdom. And I gained some understanding of that wisdom because I didn't do it anymore. It says, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. As I was growing up as a young man into my teens, and I don't know about your teens, I don't know about how you were when you were a teen, I don't know any of this stuff, so I'm going to just tell you how I was. As a teenager, I was always short of money. You know what my dad said to me? It didn't make any sense to me until I got older. He said, it's not what you're making that's the problem. He said, it's what you're spending that's the problem. Now, I know how old you are if you understood that statement. And there's no teenagers here, so I didn't see any blank looks. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain and fine gold. It doesn't matter. People, listen to me carefully. I'm older than most of you. I'm going to leave it at that. It doesn't matter how much you're making if you don't have wisdom and understanding of the wisdom in what you're making. What's coming in is not sufficient unless you have wisdom as to how to handle it. Mankind is born to waste. But you don't want to fall into agreement with that, do you? That's what we can get born again out of. He said he's delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. How come is it that money is the hardest thing there is to take correction over? If you can take correction over money, I'll guarantee you, you can take correction over almost anything else. I have an idea of why. I'll tell you what my idea is. You can either agree with it or disagree with it. Money represents who you are. That's why tithing works. Okay? You give of yourself to get your money, right? So the money that you have represents you. So anytime that anybody is criticizing your money and how you handle it, it's kind of like they're criticizing you. You take that personally. I've been through it, okay? Believe me, I've been through it. And the times that hurt the worst was when God started dealing with me about how I was handling money. Okay, enough said. Verse 15 says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Now let me just refresh your memory here. Where do you get wisdom? In the Word. Right? If you need wisdom, you go to the Word. So he said, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her, retain wisdom. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Oh, well, now even God uses wisdom and understanding of the wisdom. First, he had the wisdom of the thing, and then by understanding the wisdom, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Now, is that a promise? I like that promise. I like that promise a lot. Verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Oh. When you lie down, when you go to bed at night, you will not be afraid. You're going to sleep good. You're going to sleep good because there will be no fear. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Don't be afraid of trouble from the wicked when it comes. He didn't say if. Hello? Don't be afraid of trouble from the wicked when it comes. And I'm going, okay, I would like if. But if I can't have if, I'll take wisdom. So wisdom gets you through the trouble. And you come out the other side a whole lot stronger. And God didn't send the trouble to make you strong. It said it came from the wicked. It said, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Amen. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27, and it follows much the same track here, but I'm going to read it to you anyway because it's good. I like it, so I want to read it. And verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues or is the outflowing of life. Folks, when you're born again, all of life should flow out of the heart, out of your spirit. You know, the Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. When I was a young man, and even while I was in Bible school, there was someone who loved to, every time they thought that we might be doing something that we shouldn't be doing, and I don't know what they thought we were doing that we shouldn't be doing, because we were all amazed that they thought we were doing anything that we shouldn't be doing. But they would quote that verse to us. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that person loved us tremendously. Loved us tremendously. But he kept quoting that scripture verse and the lust of the flesh. And to me, that lust part stuck out. Now maybe it needed to stick out to me. I don't know. Okay? Maybe. I wasn't doing anything that I thought was lusting. But now you get over onto the desires of the flesh, and I was doing lots of that. I was doing lots of stuff that was a desire of the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. Now, you've been too long since you've been a teenager if you don't know what I'm talking about. Out doing, just fooling around. Desire of the flesh. If you put desires in there instead of lust, that covers a lot more territory, and it starts to straighten out a lot more stuff for you. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs is the outflowings of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Look straight ahead. Stay focused. Coaches tell their people all the time, stay focused, stay focused. How many of you have ever played sports? I mean, I never played any professional sports, but I did play sports. And I love to play ball. And when you're in the outfield playing ball, I don't know how many of you have ever played ball. But anyway, when you're in the outfield playing ball, and there isn't too much activity out there, and it gets real easy to start daydreaming. And you don't stay focused. And all of a sudden something happens and you miss it. You're not moving when you should be moving, and all of a sudden you're saying, ah! You know, and you wind up too late to be of any help. Stay focused, he's saying. Look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Stay focused. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Stay focused. You know, I told you, I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things that were stupid. But you would get a desire for something. And you knew that some of this just wasn't good for you. Trucks, cars, I'm talking. And there are times when you just don't need to be doing this kind of stuff, okay? And so instead of staying focused on what God was saying to me, I'd go to the bank. And because the bank was willing to loan me the money, I thought, well, I must be able to pay it because they're supposedly smarter than I am. Don't you ever believe that trash? They really don't care what you can afford and what you can't afford. Their calculation is what they can get out of you. Anyway, how did I ever get in that? Now I'm in trouble again. But you see, I would lose focus on what the Word said. I would lose focus on what God was saying in my heart. Hello? Come on now. Have you been there? I would lose focus on what God was saying in my heart, and I wasn't keeping my focus straight ahead, and I wasn't removing my foot from evil because I went in there and I signed on the dotted line. And folks, inevitably that got me in trouble. Without fail, that got me in trouble. I don't need to teach you economics. You know all about that stuff. But I'm just telling you, I've used that as an example so that you'd understand staying focused on what? On God's Word. On God's Word. Focus on what comes out of the heart. Now I want to tell you something here that might help you to see this. This is God's chain of command. The Holy Spirit to my spirit. My spirit to my soul, and my soul giving direction to my body. That's God's chain of command. That's the way it's supposed to run. But if you get this thing flowing backwards, it is the lust or the desires of the flesh speaking to my five physical senses. I need this. I want this. It looks so good. I have to have it. And my five physical senses saying to my mind, well, you can do it this way. Go see the banker. Hello. And about that time is when you should have removed your foot from evil. Now, if you go away from here saying that I told you it was a sin to borrow money, then you've missed the concept totally. I said, did you ask God? And if he said, go and do it, hey, then go and do it. But if he said, don't do it because of this or that or the other, and he will tell you if you will listen to your heart. He will tell you. And if he said, don't do it, then don't do it. Remove your foot from evil. And the evil isn't you, isn't just you sinning, but the evil is what they're trying to do to you. Delivered from the snare of the fowler. You see how this works? Oh man, this is going a different direction than I thought it was going to go. But anyway, this is good. Hebrews 12, 1 to 13. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There, folks, in one long sentence is your deliverance. That's how it came about. That's how it happened. So if you need something that explains to people what happened, right there it is. Verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How many of you have ever sat down and thought, oh, is this ever tough? I have it so bad. If you haven't ever done that, you're one up on me. I used to have a very real problem with they call it. Oh, I thought of it a minute ago. Depression. I had a very real problem with depression. And I thought, and it was always constantly the same thing. I remember this as clearly as anything. And it was always constantly, they're just using me. I'm just horse flesh to them. They're just using me. And he said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we haven't gone through anything that they did. Listen, folks, you haven't gone through anything that this cloud of witnesses has gone through. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. We haven't. No. He says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, when this whole thing was on him, this whole thing was on Jesus, and he was looking at it square in the face, and there's no way out. And he said, Father, if you can deliver me, but not my will, but your will be done. And he knew he was facing the cross, not just the physical part of that cross, but everything spiritual. He was facing separation from his Father God. He was, all this he was facing, you know what? He sweat drops of blood. And he said, you haven't done that. Striving against sin. Well, whose sin was it that he was striving against? Yours and mine. Folks, yours and mine. Because he was without sin. He had never disobeyed his Father. And the sin that he was striving against was the disobedience that we had for the Father. Just disobedience, that's it. Flat and simple, it wasn't the deeds of mankind at all. Because the deeds are only a result of sin, and sin being disobedience to God. And if you live in absolute obedience to God, there won't be any deeds occur. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when you see that word sin in the Bible, that word sin is disobedience to God. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. He said, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And folks, this word chastening here is taken from a word that means tutorage and training. Not whipping, not cancer, not broken arms. Okay? This word here is taken from a Greek word that means tutorage and training. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And if I remember right, the word that comes from scourges here was used only once in the New Testament. And scourges every son whom he receives. Folks, that's chastisement. That's bringing us to a place where we can live in God's bounty. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? For if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Say, I am not legitimate. I am a son of the living God. Therefore, I will enjoy his chastening. I threw that word in, enjoy, in there. I had to get that in there. Because we need to learn to enjoy the chastening of the Lord. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Talk to any one of my boys and ask them what happened if they got ignorant over correction. No, maybe they better not, huh, Calvin? Folks, that says, furthermore, you have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I don't know if you're... My mom and my dad were like this, and I guess I was like this. And that was, if you're still raising a whole lot of fuss over this correction, you haven't had enough correction. I can see some of you don't enjoy that at all. That's the way I grew up. By the time it was all finished, I had a whole lot of respect for my mom. Or my dad. And yet with God, when he corrects us, we fuss and we... paw the dirt. Do a whole lot of stupid stuff. And we, how many of you know what the word pout means? I could do it pretty good. Because God would tell me something, and I knew it was the truth. I knew that it was the truth. But I didn't want to hear it. And at that point, I wasn't really ready to listen. I'm going to carry on. Verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Oh. Why does God chasten us? But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. It is his holiness that he is trying to get across to us. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You didn't want to hear that, did you? You know what? I'm just carry on. Try and much as possible, stay out of trouble. Verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated or taken away, but rather be healed. Oh, oh, oh. Now, that's not necessarily talking about physical healing here. That's talking about your situation, your situation. Now, that's a word for you. Go to the dictionary and see if you can find that one. It's talking about your situation, that it doesn't get worse, but it can be healed. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Now, husbands, listen close. It says, husbands, love your wives. Should I quit reading there? Everybody likes that? Husbands, love your wives. And this is the part that I wanted. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now that is what God is trying to perfect, is a body of believers without spot or wrinkle. People spend a whole lot of money on creams to get rid of wrinkles. And it looks to me like Jesus will do that for you. Particularly those worry ones that come right between here. Okay, you didn't see that as funny either, so we'll just carry on. John chapter 14, 15 to 18 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now that word helper there comes from a Greek word, parakletos, which is an intercessor, a counselor, an advocate, and a comforter. Now that's what he wanted to send to you. The Holy Spirit was sent into the earth to help us with the word. I mean, John chapter 16, verse 26, is it? No, it'd be 13, somewhere's in there, around 13 somewhere. The Holy Spirit was sent into the earth to help us with the word. And the word is what keeps us tutored and trained. Amen? He says, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You're not illegitimate. He is not leaving you orphans. I will come to you. Romans 8:16 says, starting read at 14 and down to 17, I guess in the way I wrote it down there, I missed some of that. So Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. He loves you, so he chastens you as a son. You're not an orphan anymore. How do you like that for bananas? Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, or if we do what he did. Suffer, that word suffer there means, just simply put, do what he did. If we do what he did with him, that we may also be glorified or get the same results he got. How do you like that? I hope you like it, because we're finished. Amen? Now, are you glad that you came tonight and experienced that the chastening of the Lord the way it should be? Most of the time when we start experiencing these kind of things, we think it's kind of like God's getting down on us. No, not for a minute. He's getting you up. He's lifting you up. He's not down on you. He's lifting you up. Amen.